It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jake Plummer will join us in about 20 minutes, our weekly chat with Jake. There's a story that is making big news. It's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal about, front page of the Sports Wall Street Journal, about the University of Oregon playing in the national championship game this coming Monday night. They have taken the tact as coaches to no longer yell at players, which I think is really interesting. I want to talk to Jake about that. Also, the matchup of Oregon and Ohio State and much more. Rick Gosling, one of the best in the business, Dallas Morning News, Cowboys insider, part of the Talk of Fame radio network, which is right here on Skyview as well. Rick Gosling will join us. We'll talk about the matchup of the Cowboys and Packers this weekend. I'll touch a little bit on what happened with the Cowboys last weekend, but really, let's move the story forward on the Packers. So we'll talk with Rick Gosling about the Cowboys and where they are in that matchup. I saw where Jethro Pugh passed away, too, one of the great legendary Cowboys, and I'm sure that Rick's got a story on that one as well. In between our guests, there's a lot that is going on. There's a lot on my mind today as some things that I've seen in the world of sports. Yesterday, I took the day off from the show. It was great to have Jeff Munn fill in with Jerry Colangelo. Terrific show. Yesterday was the Phoenix Open, Waste Management Open media day. So they invite us media hacks to come out to test out the track. They do it every year. I look forward to the event. I'm not very good at golf. I do golf quite a bit because I like getting my steps in. I'm one of these guys that I need knee surgery on both knees, so I can't run like I used to. Doesn't mean I'm old, doesn't mean I'm this or that. It just means I can't get around as well as I used to. And it happens when you do sports. So golf is something I took up a few years back. And quite frankly, guys, it's been a lifesaver for me. Golf, the golf industry in general is down. People aren't golfing. The incomes aren't there following the crash in 2009. The industry has been very flat. But, of course, here in Arizona, where you have 90-plus golf courses in Maricopa County alone, and that's a fact, why not go out and hack it up and walk the course and get my steps in? It's healthy. And while it hurts a little bit, even as bad as I am, it's still a great time. Yesterday, playing the new open course, everybody's talking, I shouldn't say everybody, while there's a lot of buzz, obviously, about the Super Bowl being here, the Waste Management Open will draw 500,000 fans. Doesn't matter. The two can coexist. The two have done just well. They do partner back and forth with the events. Yeah, they're both chasing the same sort of revenue, so I'm sure there's some struggles behind the scenes. But I know this, 500,000 people, I'll be at the Open a lot more than I'll be at Super Bowl stuff. I'll be at some Super Bowl stuff because it's important, but it's here just once. This is here every year, and when I was told yesterday morning, hey, just so you know, it's looking like we're going to get Tiger this year. We've done the Tiger Woods coming to Phoenix angle every single year, it feels like, since he hasn't shown up since 2001. But I was given a heads up by a couple of the people whose opinions I trust out there with the Thunderbirds. They have reserved hotel rooms at one palatial resort nearby, three rooms. They Woods's people have put together and purchased a box at 16. So I mean, it's all everything's pointing towards Tiger being here the week of the Super Bowl. So while the Super Bowl is here, the Waste Management Open is going to be here with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. So it's going to be terrific. We'll be doing shows out at the Waste Management Open every day from the Patriots Outpost. It's where all military, active, retired, standby, all military is allowed in this one tent, and everything's free. So you see guys that come in that have no arms, no legs, they're shot up, that have served our country. Eric, you came with me out there last year. We sat on a tank.
We did.
And
then we made a joke on social media about if the Suns aren't going to tank it, at least we can.
At least we can. Yes. Yes. Maybe the Knicks can use that joke, too, as bad as they are. So we'll be back there doing that. So I played yesterday, and there's some changes to the course. Most of you probably aren't golfers. You'd like to be out golfing. I'll share with you some of my impressions out there as the show progresses. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. I am thinking of making a run to the White Mountains this weekend. Why not? Time to get away, and we'll head over to the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down on the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, get out and do some hiking, maybe head over to the Sunrise Ski Resort and go down the sleds with my 10-year-old, have some fun at sunrise, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, and get away from it all. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. You can do the exact same thing. There's terrific entertainment there. ABBA tribute band at the end of this month. And, of course, lots of specials and lots of fun. Just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, that is the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. Jake Plummer in about 8 minutes. I'm going to get into the playoffs and the temperatures and all that stuff. But I think locally, because that's what we're about, I watched the Suns game last night, and the Timberwolves had lost 13 in a row. The story would have been had the Suns lost to the Timberwolves, but there were some things that happened last night in the Suns game that weren't good. I don't know if they're going to suspend Marcus Morris today. Eric, did you see any of the game last night?
I just saw parts of it. I saw the end, but I did not see what you're about to reference.
So Marcus Morris gets into it with Jeff Hornacek and just F-bombs Jeff Hornacek like F-bombs I hadn't seen come out of anybody towards a head coach in a long, long time. It wasn't Robert Horry throwing a towel at Danny Ainge, but it was certainly a sign of disrespect last night that is troubling. And Marcus Morris didn't see his way back out onto the floor after that happened. There was also a play where Eric Bledsoe missed what should have been an easy shot, in my opinion, and did not turn around and run back on defense. And before you knew it, Jeff Hornacek pulled Eric Bledsoe out of the game, and Eric Bledsoe had a nice, warm, cushy seat next to the coach last night. They hung on. They won. Bledsoe went back into the game with about a minute and a half to go, 2 minutes to go. Hornacek went with the lineup of the small ball lineup. He went back in with Dragic and Isaiah Thomas and Bledsoe. And Bledsoe's terrific. Okay, don't get me wrong on this. But when you don't run back on defense, you should sit your ass right down next to the coach. I have zero tolerance for guys who don't hustle, especially when they're supposedly a mini LeBron James. Okay, I've never seen LeBron James dog it. The Marcus Morris thing, I don't know what's going to come of that. It certainly can't be, well, it's just in the heat of battle. They may say that, but if you see the video, you would say, you've got to be kidding me. He got away with that? They're off today. They play at San Antonio tomorrow night. If the Suns were still just kind of circling the drain, you know, my take on them has been they're an 8th or 9th place playoff team at this point. They're just a fringe playoff team. But I have to tell you, I'm starting to change my tune just a little bit. They've won 10 of their last 12. Now, is it because the NBA is not any good? Yeah, there's some bad teams. My guy Shabazz Muhammad actually showed up last night from Minnesota. Shabazz played well. Shazam by Shabazz. Andrew Wiggins was pretty darn good. He missed a three at the buzzer. Otherwise, the Suns are sitting here today with bigger news. They lost a stinking Minnesota who lost 12 in a row before the game. But if you're Jeff Hornacek, I'm sorry. You've got to take some sort of action against Marcus Morris. If you see the video, you will say, yeah, probably sit him down. You can't just go with the heat of battle, which we've heard through the years. Tonight's going to be very interesting. Tonight, I will find my way to watch a couple of college basketball games. ASU plays at Oregon State. Wasn't impressed at all with ASU this past weekend down in Tucson. Later tonight at 8:30, U of A plays against Oregon.
I'm going to watch that too. No. I won't be watching
it's
that.
Pac-12 Network. You want to come over?
No.
Make the trip?
Jeez.
40 miles?
Fly me out? Sure.
Get a plane? Come on down. The number 7 Arizona against Oregon is tonight. The Ducks are 1-0 in Pac-12. They're 11-3. The Cats are 13-1. They're 1-0 in the Pac-12. Oregon's won 6 in a row. The teams they lost to were Ole Miss, VCU, and Michigan, when Michigan was ranked before they lost to some directional school. The Ducks are pretty darn good. So there's some college basketball tonight. U of A is going through some turmoil. They kicked off one of their best freshmen off the team. Sean Miller just blew him out. And so I'll be interested to see that game tonight. The playoffs themselves around the NFL, we'll talk with Jake further about the playoff stuff. there's some stories around the NFL that don't have anything to do with the playoff matchups. And we'll go through each one of those with Jake. But I saw where St. Louis's offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, left the team to go to college, to go coach Georgia. I bring this up because in the NFC West, I'm always looking at what the other teams are doing. You know, who are the 49ers going to hire that's better than Jim Harbaugh? Are they starting to head in the wrong direction? If Seattle comes here to be in the Super Bowl and they win in the Cardinals stadium, is that adding insult to injury because it's the Seahawks? When I look at the Rams, though, with the Schottenheimer story, that team was headed in the right direction. So their old coordinator leaves, and then add to that the civic story that the Rams officials are not returning phone calls of St. Louis officials since the story came out over the weekend that the Rams ownership is going to build a stadium in Los Angeles. So are things already getting contentious? I bring this up because if you're a free agent and you're starting to look at where do I want to play football and relocate my family to, it's going to be hard, I would think, for St. Louis to attract free agent players. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, you can talk about Jeff Fisher and you can talk about how you're heading in the right direction, but facts are, hey, honey, I'm going to sign with St. Louis and a year from now, we're going to have to go build out in LA. Or the taxes of an NFL player, a pro athlete in California, are you kidding me? They're off the charts. It's a big deal. Phil Mickelson brought it up a year ago, drove people crazy. So that story caught my eye. Kyle Shanahan leaving the Browns. This was supposed to be an organization getting Johnny Manziel. I'd say the Manziel thing's not working out so good for them right about now. It seems to me that if you look at what direction the Cleveland's going to, they're going the wrong way. So it's time of year with coordinators. I do follow that stuff. You know, Todd Bowles can choose the jobs to go interview for. He's going to interview for all of them. Atlanta, to me, seems to be a good fit with the owner. Why would Todd Bowles go take Chicago? Why in God's green earth would you go to Chicago? What do you have there? You have a train wreck. It's like going and taking the Jets job. It's even taking the Raiders job, although the Raiders roster is getting better. So Todd Bowles has started doing his interviews, started them yesterday. That caught my eye. A couple other things, and we'll get to Jake. One other thing. The story about the Oregon football program, and I want to see what Jake thinks about this. Wall Street Journal puts this together. Oregon football has become famous for doing things a certain way. Fast, flashing, above else, loud. This is a team that plays before a deafening home crowd. I'm reading from this now. Ever-changing uniforms, blares music at such high volumes during practice that each drill is ended with a blast from a foghorn. But as Oregon prepares to square off Monday against Ohio State in the national title game, its coaches are starting to make some noise for their uncommon approach to dealing with players. They don't yell. When I saw this story, I'm thinking, wow, okay. And this is the Wall Street Journal. This isn't some little fly-by-night or even local rag that's doing this. In a move that may send football traditionalists into a sideline meltdown, Oregon coach Mark Helfrich, who was, by the way, here as part of Dirk Cutter's thing, and his staff have ditched the age-old technique of screaming at players to motivate them. Instead, Oregon's coaches have implemented a softer, less confrontational, altogether cuddlier method of running their team. Helfrich said, "It's not about who can scream the loudest. We have excellent specialists in their field, great leaders of young men that need to teach how to do or show them what to do. Hopefully, there's way more talking than yelling." So we're going to take a break here, and on the other side, I'll talk to Jake about the playoff matchups, because I know everybody wants to know about Aaron Rodgers and who he likes there, and if Aaron can play in Dallas and the call and all that stuff. That's low-hanging fruit. I think this is really interesting what Oregon has decided to do in their approach in coaching. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports 360 AZ, Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer joins us now, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You can call Jeremy today and review all your wealth planning needs. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. Ameriprise Financial, Jake Plummer segment, a winning combination here on Sports 360AZ. So yesterday, Jake, I'm playing at TPC Scottsdale. They just redid the whole course. I hear that Tiger is probably going to play this year. Last time he was here was 2001. Now, your Super Bowl week itinerary, if I get you into 16 or one of those corporate tents, are you coming to watch Tiger at the Open for one day with me?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
You're down with that?
Yeah, get me, as long as I can bring my brothers and my best friend with me, that'd be four total.
Four total.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need four.
Let's
Jake needs four total. Okay, and so Super Bowl week, do you have a better day? Okay, so like is Thursday, are you laid out on Thursday? Do you know what you're doing on Thursday yet?
I don't
Friday?
Know yet. Stuff kind of coming together right now, so you know it's kind of one of those things you wait and hear, see what's going on and try to make a schedule. But I'm right now pretty wide open.
Okay, so you're gonna put down on your schedule Brad for Waste Management Open Tiger, right?
Okay.
All right. That's done. We'll take care of that. Now, have you ever played TPC Scottsdale?
Yeah, that's where the Phoenix Open's been for years, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so right out of college, I got the chance to play in that. It was, right as soon as the Rose Bowl was over and then back from the Senior Bowl and Shrine, and I got invited to play in it. Gosh, it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. My brother was my caddy, and as we pulled up to check in, they handed us a driver and say, thanks for coming. I said, what? Get a free driver? You know, get out of college when you need stuff and you don't have any money. Now I'm a professional and getting all kinds of stuff for free. A new set of golf clubs from Mizuno. And it was a lot of fun. Definitely had a great time out there and met a lot of golfers. I wasn't a great golfer, but I had a great time. So great event.
Are you any good now?
Oh, I can hit it. I'm decent. I mean, as an ex-NFL quarterback, you got to be able to play golf, so I can hit it a little bit. The years living out in Arizona, I played a ton of golf, obviously, and not so much anymore. I mean, with kids and all, and I get out about 8-9 times a year, and anywhere from low 80s to high 90s. So you never know what the day will bring.
Yeah, so you and I can't play then because I'm in the high hundreds. That's just the way.
I just have fun. It's fun.
That's
it's all about getting three guys that you enjoy being around. My last round I played was with Jason Verdugo, Gus Farwell, and Frank Sanders out at Weeco Paw Golf Course.
Wow.
I don't even know what my score was. I didn't even care. We were just having so much fun, and it's beautiful out there.
Yeah. Do you remember the round?
The round that I had?
Do you remember it? I mean, were you having that much fun that you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I love that course. Yeah, I love that course. You know, I mean, just having fun being with a couple old ASU teammates and the old Arizona Cardinal teammate, and that's, to me, what golf's about, is being with the guys you choose to be in your foursome and having a good time. You know, it's a lot of things can make you mad in life. Why make golf one of them?
Well, I will tell you, walking into 16 yesterday, they already have the whole structure. It's a stadium now. It's fully enclosed. 16 is fully enclosed. So you walk through the tunnel and you're standing, there's nobody there. And then you imagine 28,000 people on top of you as you're supposed to hit a shot. Now, you can tell me better than anybody. Playing in front of 75,000 fans or hitting a golf shot by yourself, I don't know which would be more pressure. But
hitting a golf shot, I can recall back when I played in that, it was real intense. Got the fans, where it's a pro-am, so everybody was lined watching. But they needed to know, those guys could hit pretty good. But the am part, that was me. And the guy standing down, basically right where if I just pushed the ball would just obliterate him, just standing there watching. And I'm like, that was nerve-wracking because the possibility of actually, maybe maiming or killing somebody with a golf ball was not something I wanted to do during the pro-am. So I'd much rather be on the field in front of 75,000.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better. There's one year where Gonzo was there with Mickelson in the pro-am, and he hit a line. He's not good at all. I mean, I think I'm bad. Luis hit a couple line drive ropes into the crowd. I'm thinking he's going to kill somebody, and he's just groaning as he hits it. Like, you can't even yell, look out. It's just, please evacuate the area because this guy is brutal. So
yeah, the silence too. Everybody gets quiet, and all of a sudden you're like, what are they doing? Why are they quiet? I wanted them to cheer. I would rather have them making noise and put me in my own environment. That way I could just go out and do it. But yeah, that's a lot of fun. I played an alternating shot deal too, a challenge, and Mickelson and Bill Russell was out there, Billy Crystal, and had a couple great times out there at the Scottsdale course. I had a great time. I'd love to go out there again.
All right, so we'll take care of that. We'll make it happen.
All right.
So now let's switch over to. I'll get to the playoffs in a second. Did you see the front page Wall Street Journal story about Oregon football coaches not yelling as part of their coaching?
I didn't see that.
All right. So, and it just came out last night. So Oregon coach Mark Helfrich has said that his staff, they've ditched the age-old technique of screaming at players to motivate them. Instead, they found a way to do it that is, as he said, quote, "It's not about who can scream the loudest. We have excellent specialists in their field, great leaders of young men that need to teach guys what to do, to show them and tell them and find a way to bring that home. Hopefully way more talking than yelling. When you put your arm around a guy and say, this is how it could be done better," Marcus Mariota said, "those guys already understand that they did wrong. We don't need to be yelled at."
Yeah.
Okay, so completely different out-of-the-box way of what football players, or even from myself, from a media standpoint, have come to expect. I know you haven't seen the story. It's just fresh out there. Do you have some thoughts on that approach?
Well, I think it's a great approach if you got the right players, you know, the right players that are responsible, mature, and come out prepared to practice and ready to go. And you also, as a coach, need to know your players. And I always preach this, that a coach can coach and win a championship, but how good is that coach when he's got a whole new slate of players and he has to coach them up and find what they can do good and put them in situations to do well? And so, you know, it depends on the coach. Some coaches prefer to yell and motivate that way, but I know that it's been going on a long time. This isn't some new revelation. I mean, I've had coaches that have been extremely calm, and I mean, Mark Trestman was a guy, he never yelled out there on the field. He was very thoughtful in what he said. He coached you. He would come and look at you and see in your eyes if there was confusion or if you knew what you were doing, and then he wouldn't be repetitive and say, you know, that ball needs to be a foot up. Like, as soon as it leaves my hand, I know if it's accurate or not. You don't need to come tell me, you know, we need to bring that ball up 10 inches. And that's what, you know, here in Denver got a little bit intense is during practice was everything was analyzed immediately right after it. So it wasn't like, hey, I could just relax and go watch the film afterwards and then coach myself, but everything was overanalyzed and overcoached. So, you know, it's good to hear that. And the reason probably why they're having success, it puts it on the players to you know, be on top of one another and make sure they know what they're doing. And then coaches don't have to lose their voices out there screaming every day.
Anybody ever just rip you a new one, just yelled at you like you couldn't believe?
You know, I had more times than not, it was behind closed doors when something like that would happen. Not so much out front of the team because, you know, as a quarterback, the last thing a coach wants to do, if he has to avoid doing, is to belittle or berate his quarterback because, you know, if you get that going, you don't know how to be or react. But there were plenty of times where, you know, coach would have words for me. And, you know me, Brad, I wasn't one to just kind of nod my head. I mean,
you fought
I'd
back.
Have something
you fired back.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that to me is you got to find the right coach that can coach a player like me or a player with a lot of passion and a lot of energy because it's not always going to be peachy and clean and everything. It's going to get intense at times. And when you can find a coach that can get intense in that moment, still coach and understand it's that moment that brings out the player's competitiveness and the coach, get through that, you become a better team, you become a better player and even better person. So there were plenty of opportunities and times where, you know, I was yelled at, but, you know, that all, you know, you tend not to dwell on those moments.
Sure, sure. Talking with Jake Plummer, just one last thought on this story, and I'll just give you a little bit more, because I think you and Nick Aliotti have worked together at the Pac-12 Network, right?
You know what? He's usually we haven't. But he comes in and he does the same thing I do. So when I'm there, he's not there.
Got it.
Yeah. So sounds like a great guy, great coach.
So Nick said in this article, "I would raise my voice at times. I used to like kids that you could get after and really coach hard, but society has changed." Aliotti said when he got there, he was one coach, but when he left after the 2012 season, he rarely shouted because players no longer responded to such treatment. Okay. Chip Kelly called it the horizontal leadership structure at Oregon. So, you know, some big fancy term that Chip Kelly termed, and then hand over to Mark Helfrich. I don't know. It's like you said, this isn't any great revelation. I just think coming into the title game, they do seem like a group that doesn't get rattled. You know what I mean? I've never seen an Oregon team other than last year down in Tucson. There was something about last year's team that wasn't quite right, and Tucson just beat the tar out of them. But there's something coming into this title game. You look at Oregon and say they just seem real calm and peace.
Well, I think they embody their leader in Marcus Mariota. I mean, the kid, you know, you look at what he does out there on the field and how he is when he's in interviews, just watching him when a bad play happens. It's not a panic. It's he's just going back to the drawing board. Let's make something positive happen. And, you know, that really can happen on good quality teams, especially when you have the right mix of players. And you're reading there, the coaching is right where they're like I said, they're putting it on the players to police themselves. And I know, you know, from my senior year at ASU, when we became more, you know, the players involved in the other players' activities and actions, you know, the coaches could sit back and really focus on the game and coaching us to be better players. You see that for Oregon. I think it's just some great leadership. And, you know, they're a calm team that plays really, really fast and causes a lot of stress for the opponent. So, you know, congrats to them on their style and everything. But like you said, it's not something just now and new and fresh. And I think the message it sends when you see a coach, you know, on the sideline with a big, fat, pouty face and he's screaming and throwing stuff. I mean, everybody's watching that. And you got to think, you know, I don't know. I always think if I was a coach, what would my mom think? What would my kids think? What would my wife think if I was making all these nasty, ugly faces just because of an incompletion? I mean, it's like, hey, move on, move forward.
Okay, except if you're Matthew Stafford last week against the Cowboys and the flag gets picked up. What do you do in that space?
Oh, have some choice words. Probably be close to getting a flag, if not maybe being flagged for you know, saying something to
mom wouldn't like it. Mom would not like your choice of words there, right?
No, I would have been extremely irate and had some choice words for that ref, for the head ref, and been extremely upset. But you know, you got to move on past that. I mean, as a team, you can't let that affect you. They still had a chance to go stop the Cowboys, so that play didn't lose the game for them. If that was the last play of the game, resulting in a touchdown, and it was a call, then okay, you know, have at it. But they still had a chance to win the game. So bad call, bad deal going on. I mean, it's America's team and all, but, you know, whatever. I think that the Cowboys' run is going to be short-lived after this weekend.
So you've got Green Bay this weekend.
Yeah, they're too good. No one's stopping Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers' ankle doesn't concern you.
It don't matter. It's not his ankle he throws the ball with.
I like that. Carolina at Seattle.
Man, those games have been a close, tight one, thought. For all that they've faced the last 3 months. So I think, man, I love Russell Wilson. I enjoy watching Cam Newton play. I think Seattle wins that one for sure. They're just they're too strong. The game will be close until about the middle of third quarter.
Ravens have won the last two times in the playoffs at Foxborough. Do they make it three in a row?
Yep, three in a row. Flacco's playing unbelievable. Gary Kubiak has that offense rolling. Their defense is confident. They don't care about Tom Brady and the Patriots. In fact, they probably cannot stand Tom Brady and the Patriots. So I see them going in there and taking that one.
Andrew Luck is 0-2 in the postseason. Does he go to 0-3 at Denver?
I ruffled a lot of feathers and went the other way on this because of Andrew Luck. I think that the Colts come in here and learn from their mistakes earlier in the year and pull out a tough win against the Broncos because of Andrew Luck. The kid's just amazing. I would take him over any quarterback in the game right now.
And you didn't have to put a for sale sign out in front of your house after that statement in Colorado.
Hey, I get it. The fans, they love it because I tell them the truth. I don't just sugarcoat it. And, you know, hey, I have a feeling, and it's not that I don't like the Broncos and want them to win. I just think that the Colts have more motivation, and they have a kid that has a beard, neck beard that's ferocious, and he's going to come in here and stay warm out of his neck beard and take it to him.
Last question, I'll let you go off this. So Kurt Warner, it comes out, is going to work with Colin Kaepernick in this offseason. Have you been approached about stuff like this as well? And if not, what would you tell Kaepernick yourself?
You know, I haven't been approached. There's been a couple times opportunities come up, but I think it's an awesome move. Anytime you get a chance to work with a veteran QB that had a lot of success, came out of nowhere, was kind of not, bagging groceries prior to playing in the NFL. I mean, the guy's been through adversity and never given up, and Kurt Warner could read defenses and anticipate and throw the ball way before a guy was open. And I think all of that he can hopefully help Kaepernick kind of understand. And, Kaepernick's got tons of talent. What he needs to learn to do is mesh that talent and off-the-cuff improvisational plays, mesh that well with being in the pocket and changing maybe a little bit of his throws so that he's not flinging it all the time. I mean, he really just lets it go. You know, when you watch him throw the ball, he throws bullets. So working on a little few different releases maybe might help him, but I think it's a great move, obviously, to be in the desert down where it's warm and working with a guy like Kurt Warner, who's just a class act.
All right. 4 for Jake. I'll talk to you next week, if not sooner, about this. We'll firm it up, all right?
All right, Brad. Sounds good.
See ya. Jake Plummer for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with Jake, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about planning for a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216. 480-922-4216. Jeremy Kitamura, Jake Plummer, Sports 360 AZ. That is a winning combination. On the other side, there's some news that has come out about sponsorship here in the Valley. It's a little random around the Cubs. A little further news on tonight's matchup. I want to talk about what's on my mind around U of A, because I want to see a little bit more in the NFL playoffs, too. In about 15 minutes, Rick Gosling, Dallas Morning News Cowboy Insider, Talk of Fame Radio Network, nobody better than Goose to talk about Cowboys. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. You know, the more I watch this Marcus Morris shouting match with Jeff Hornacek, he's got to be suspended or fined. Something's got to happen here. I don't think you disrespect a coach. I'm not there, and it wasn't just one or two F-bombs. It was a good string of them, very heated. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, Hornacek, because the Cardinals have been doing their thing and now their season's over and the college football season was such a success here in our state, the Suns have been off the radar screen. Otherwise, this is lead stuff in sports where people are looking at it and trying to analyze it. Jeff's not been tested yet by a player. Now, Jeff's been a terrific coach, in my opinion, given the talent or lack thereof that he's had to work with so far with the Suns. Marcus Morris, to me, is just, he's a role guy. I don't even consider him a glue guy. You know, glue guys are guys that come off the bench that give you something night in and night out that you can rely upon and depend upon. Unfortunately, in both Morris players' cases, Markieff's getting better. I still don't believe that he is a player that you look at and say, I'm going to win a title with him on my team. The Suns did a smart thing in getting the brother here with him, signing them together, making sure that they're here together. But when you have something like this happen, like last night, you can't just turn the other cheek and say, well, we have another game, and in the heat of battle, this happened.
And you have to wonder too, Brad, what's the trickle-down effect? Because Markieff and Marcus are attached to the hip, as most twins are.
The umbilical cord.
Exactly, literally. So is what happened last night going to trickle down from Marcus to Markieff, who has actually been playing really well recently?
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, the Suns can tell you whatever they want to tell you, but they brought in Marcus Morris because Markieff plays better with Marcus.
I'll correct you on that. They brought in Marcus Morris because Markieff was going towards being a bust. They had to do something, anything. Otherwise, they would have another first-round miss.
Well, one and the same. I see what you're saying, and it's all related. It's all related.
Yeah, I mean, they hadn't worked together, but he was a train wreck. In my opinion, he was like, you got to be kidding me. This is another first-round pick that's doing nothing. Well, let's go play the psychological side, and let's bring in his brother and see if he can. And you know what? That works. But again, he's not somebody that I'm going to win a title with.
He's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a good player.
But, you know, it's like watching Isaiah Thomas. I'm watching Isaiah Thomas last night, and he's a vacuum. Ball goes to him. It's a black hole. Ball goes into his hands. It's not coming back usually.
Uh-huh.
And so they've done well as of late.
And they've been finishing games. That was a big problem during their losing streak. They couldn't finish teams off. And I, like you said, who knows what's going on in the NBA right now? I mean, you've got a lot of bad teams. It's kind of that weird gray area where it's after Christmas. A lot of these teams are going on long road trips. The NBA doesn't really start heating up until
the
February
All-Star break.
And March.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, it's like LeBron taking a break right now. What do you know? Since LeBron took a break, they've made two trades in Cleveland. It's like, we're not going to win jack with this group, so my knees are aching. So go blow this thing up. I'm going to rest up, and then we'll get back around to it. In the meantime, fans, you can pay full fare, and I'm not going to be on the court. I mean,
The Suns play the Spurs tomorrow, Brad. They're right next to each other right now in the playoff standings, like they are every year.
Yeah.
And then when the season ends, the Spurs will be like the one or the two seed.
Right. No, that's how it works. But if you watch this video, I'm encouraging you to watch this video. It's really stunning to see how Morris just went after him last night.
Do you think there's a disrespect factor there with Hornacek?
Well, that's what you have to look when Robert Horry threw the towel at Danny Ainge, and that's my only point of reference I can go off of. I don't know what happened behind the scenes with Mike D'Antoni. I don't think there was anything there. I don't think with Alvin Gentry there was anything there. I think there was certainly, beyond question, without a doubt, that when Lance Blanks was here in the front office, that there was a joke mentality around the franchise and that they had to do something.
And things like this happen, but they usually don't happen during an ESPN game, during a timeout when there's 13 different cameras focused on the Suns bench.
And it's usually
what happens in Jeff Hornacek's office or in the locker room.
No, but how does he handle it?
Yeah.
How does his staff handle it?
Yep.
There's a reason why Alvin Gentry is considered the best assistant coach in the NBA, because you would see Alvin just work with players and manage players, you know? Is this something that we are seeing that behind the scenes nobody's had access to, that the players don't respect him, run him over? Again, I brought this up because Jeff's been in the place now for a year and a half of being a head coach, much different than being an assistant. And I think he's doing a good job, but that was really interesting. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, here we are into January. From day number one, they said, Brad, whatever you decide to do with Sports 360 AZ, we are here with you. We believe in you. We believe in your content, in your vision, in your product. And I said, well, guess what? I believe in you, Tim, and I believe in Ford. I'm a Ford guy. I've been driving Fords for many, many years. And right now it's the Ford Fusion. Ford Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. I talk about it every day. I don't have some script in front of me, some PR weasel saying, read this and read that. No. This is what I drive. This is where I go. This is what I do. This is how it works. It's a car that makes a lot of sense for me. As I go around all the sports teams, it doesn't matter if I'm at the Cardinals, if I'm over at ASU, if I'm downtown, if I'm on the west side, doesn't matter. I'm in the Ford Fusion getting from one place to the next. My wife's in a Ford Explorer from one place to the next from Santan Ford. Why don't you stop in and get that vehicle that you've been looking at? It's a great time of year to do so. First of the year, I may have been off the ball during the holiday season. Wide variety, wide selection at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, college basketball tonight. And about 10 minutes, Rick Gosling, Dallas Morning News Cowboy Insider. He'll join us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now the football season is over in terms of day in, day out, Thursday night football, Monday night football, and all that stuff. Although next Monday we have the national title game with Ohio State and Oregon. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We're starting to transition into that time of year where basketball is starting to pick up some steam. I watched last night Colorado play Utah, and it wasn't much of a game at all. Utah ranked 9th in the country. I think Utah is better than U of A right now in just watching them. And the game was at home. It was on Utah's home court. Colorado lost one of their better players early in the game. But I think U of A's got some work to do. Tonight, I will be watching tonight, number 7 Arizona against Oregon. That's at 8:30. It's on Pac-12 Network. Nobody gets it other than me. Come on over. No, don't literally come on over, but that's about how it works.
The Pac-12 is no bueno this year in basketball, though.
You know, UCLA is awful.
USC, Not great.
USC, you know, the hire they made from Florida International, that's not working out so well.
I watched that game last night. Man, nobody's going to those games. Nobody.
Cal lost at home to Cal State Bakersfield.
And also lost to Washington State. It makes no sense.
U of A, you know, they kicked off Craig.
Was that the story behind it? They kicked him off? Kyle Dodd said yesterday on the show that it was sort of, I'm not happy, you're not happy, okay, let's part ways.
Yeah.
So read between the lines on that.
Well,
you may be right.
When you see the release.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He is no longer here.
We wish him luck. We wish him luck, said Sean Miller. Bye.
Bye. Get out of here. Right? So, you know, I want to watch tonight. Casey Benson was one of the better. I'm not going to say Casey Benson was one of the best point guards I've ever seen because he, to me, was a combo guy. He can go shoot. He can go play from one to two. But I know this. ASU's been looking for a point guard this year. He was right here. But instead, he's playing at Oregon.
Casey was on the show yesterday and said he's loving it up there in Oregon. And he's been starting the last few games. So good for him.
They've won six in a row. So I think I want to see how he plays tonight. Former Corona del Sol Aztec. I went and watched Corona on Tuesday night again. That's like a stinking NBA team. If you guys are hoopaholics, one of my passions, other than doing this and running Sports 360 and being a dad, one of my passions is just to go sit in gyms. I love going to sit and watch high school basketball. I'm not at that crazy stage yet, even though my fourth grader's starting to get hit on to go play on clubs. We got a club tournament next weekend that we're going to go to. And he's going to play a lot because he's a big kid. But I've done three of these rodeos with kids before, so I'm in this space where I've seen the club scene. It doesn't matter what club sport it in. I had a dad yesterday I'm playing golf with, one of the head guys of the Thunderbirds. And he's just now entering the space of club soccer. Good luck with that. You will have no life for the next 10 years. And you will put out more money chasing a scholarship than would have paid for college to begin with. So, you know, I love going out and seeing these kids and who's next. And the other night I watched Corona play, and I'm sitting in the stands with Spike Lawrence, who's one of the biggest ASU boosters, along with his dad, Knapp, and Tom Mareel from Mareel Slater. I'll talk about them here in a second. And I'm seeing four guys that are going to be Division I kids next year, or not in the next 3 years. And it's fun. And there's, like, anybody who's a basketball fan. And basketball, it's different from football. Football guys don't go out and watch high school football unless it's the quarterback. Like, Eric, you're a big college fan. You love going to high school football games.
I do.
You didn't initially. I think initially when we first started this.
I've always liked high school football.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, now that you're there to go shoot and go tell a story, it seems to me you have more passion about it. No? Am I wrong?
I always used to kind of sneak out to go to high school games.
Do you like going to basketball?
I do like high school basketball.
Yeah.
Baseball, eh. Not as much, but I do like high school basketball, high school football, and obviously college football.
And I think it's cool basketball. When, like, national voices admit that they go out. Like, Michael Wilbon admits he goes out and watches high school basketball in Chicago. I think that's the right way to go about it. I'll see Suns players, past and present, that will go show up at a gym to see a sophomore guard at St. Mary's because they've heard this kid's pretty darn good.
Just like last fall. I mean, if you missed your opportunity to see Christian Kirk play at Saguaro, you
missed.
You just missed out.
You missed.
You had four years to watch this guy, and next year you can watch him at A&M, but
I don't know if he's going to play much next year down there. They've got a really good receiver.
He'll play plenty. They have lots of good receivers, but they throw the ball all over the place.
Move him to corner?
I don't know if Kyle Allen's going to be the one throwing the passes, but.
Yeah. Is he going to leave?
Well, they have this hotshot recruit coming in.
They always have hot
shot
recruits
coming in. I know. But it looks like Kenny Trill Hill might be transferring out.
Stunning.
Rick, so I've been told.
Rick Gosling, Dallas Morning News Cowboy Insider, one of the best in the business, part of the Talk of Fame Radio Network, is going to join us in about 7-8 minutes to talk about the Cowboys matchup with the Packers. This segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. Guys, I'm going to talk to you real personal here about stuff, your health insurance. And you may say, well, wait a second, I thought I had to have health insurance done by December 15th. No, open enrollments through February 15th. February 15th. And do you have it all figured out? Do you have someone in your corner that can point you in that direction? All right, I do. And it's John Slater, it's Tom Mareel. It's Lori Brodzinski over at Mareel Slater Insurance. They're a part of Sports 360 AZ. Insurance is something you can't just put off to the side and say, yeah, I'll get around to it. Or, Brad, I don't want to hear about that. No, you have until the 15th of February to get in that open enrollment. Check it out. Make sure you have all your questions answered. I'm going to give you a website to go to. Very simple. MSinsuranceLLC.com. MSinsuranceLLC.com. Tom and John do a great job at Mareel Slater Insurance. They're involved in the community. They take care of my insurance. They can do the same for you. That's Mareel Slater Insurance, MSinsuranceLLC.com, MSinsuranceLLC.com. Now, on the other side tonight, the ASU-Oregon State game is on Fox Sports 1. They had Gus Johnson do the game the other night down in Tucson. I don't know who they have tonight. And I don't know if I can sit through ASU turning the ball over 20 times a game. If you can't get the ball into your offensive set, for a problem with that. Gary Payton's kid is on Oregon State's team. I don't know if I'm that dedicated tonight to watch that, but I will definitely watch U of A and Oregon. Other side, Rick Gosling talking about the playoffs, the Cowboys-Packers, the game of the weekend, also his thoughts on what happened with replay this last week and some Hall of Fame stuff too. I'm Brad Sussmat. Off we go into our number two, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sussmat with you from our Uptown Skyview Satellite Studios in Scottsdale. Of course, we talk about Talk of Fame Radio quite often, TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Buddy Clark Judge, Rick Gosling, Ron Borges, they do a great job every week. They're going to be out here for the Super Bowl, all things around the Hall of Fame. And Rick joins us for a couple of minutes, Dallas Morning News, Cowboy Insider. Rick Gosling, Talk of Fame Radio. I know time is short because you've got a lot going on back there. I'm just curious, you're still in Dallas, right, Rick? You've not gone?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Still in Dallas.
More interest, Cowboys game or Oregon-Ohio State back there right now?
If the Cowboys are playing in the national title game, there'd be greater interest. This is all about the Cowboys right now.
So Oregon-Ohio State are going to roll in and play a game. Is the game sold out? Do you even know? Have you heard anything about it?
I have not heard, but I'm sure it's sold out.
All right.
This place has got an accordion attendance. They can make it, if it's 65,000, they can fit that. If it's 95,000, they can fit that. Whatever they have in the building, they'll call a sellout. The first game that the Cowboys played there, they had 105,000. Whatever they need to get in, they'll get in.
Rick Gosling with us. Okay, so last time a Cowboy game had this much buildup?
2007. That's the last time they advanced this far. Mm-hmm. They were the top seed coming off a bye, playing a New York Giants team they had already beaten twice during the regular season, and they lost at home. And now you got to go to Green Bay with memories of the Ice Bowl still vivid in the minds of the people here. It's a tougher challenge this time. In fact, they got to go through it. But, yeah, this is the biggest game they played.
Isn't this bigger than that Giants game, given the historical side of it?
They were the top seed there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the top seed, you're supposed to go to a Super Bowl. You know, they're not the top seed here. They didn't have a first-round bye. I still say the 2007 game, when they thought the road was paved for them to the Super Bowl. But this will be a much tougher road if they get there this year, going through Green Bay and likely Seattle. And this will be one of the great playoff feats by this team in franchise history.
And I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, at the start of the year, everybody crushed and crucified the defense of the Cowboys, that they were supposed to be awful and horrendous in any other term you want to use, Rick. That's not the case now.
Well, this isn't an overpowering defense by any means. What's happened, and I never thought they'd do this, they committed to running the football. They gave the ball to DeMarco Murray and made him the focal point of the offense. The whole deal was control the ball, control the clock, protect basically a defense that's average at best, and also a quarterback that has a bad back. And with Murray rushing, lead the league in rushing by almost 500 yards, they did that. When they went into Seattle the first game, they held on to the ball for 38 minutes. When they played at Tennessee, they held on to the ball for 42 minutes. When this defense is asked to play 24 or 25 minutes, it can come up with some stops. Mm-hmm. But virtually every game this defense has had to play over 30 minutes, it's struggled. And for the last 5 weeks, they've been under 30 minutes. So I think the most valuable player in this defense is DeMarco Murray. But as time goes on, they see you making plays when they need them late in games.
Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News, Cowboy Insider with Brad Sussmat. Is this a great team then, top to bottom, this Cowboy team? Is it a great team?
I think it's very explosive offensively. Well, the quarterback had, it's the first time the Cowboys have won a passing title since Roger Staubach in the 70s. First time they've won a rushing title since Emmitt Smith in the 90s. They've got a wide receiver who led the league in touchdown catches. They think they've got the best offensive line of football. This team can score with anybody. What they've got to do is slow it down and run Murray. Defensively, it's average at best, though. They lack a pass rush, and they lack playmakers. And that's something they're going to have to address. You know, they let this last offseason, they let both DeMarcus Ware and Jason Hatcher go. Mm-hmm. And essentially, they were the two best teams on the worst defense in the NFL. So they haven't reloaded. They're trying to do it with quantity up front. But they could still use the players. If Sean Lee had stayed healthy, they'd have a pretty good playmaker, a Pro Bowl caliber playmaker. If DeMarcus Lawrence, their second-round draft pick, hadn't missed the first 8 weeks, he may have more of an impact. But no, this defense right now is average at best. If they're going to win, it's going to be with Murray running the football in Green Bay and Seattle.
Rick Goslin, you can follow Talk of Fame Network on Twitter, Talk of Fame Net. That's on Twitter. Okay, I'm just going back to the weekend. How did the play, the pass interference, pick up the flag, no call, how did that play in Dallas this week?
Well, I figured they've got enough bad calls in the past that they were owed a couple. You know, they still think that there was a Super Bowl hold in one of the Steeler games. They can come up with enough bad calls. But I go back to it. This game was played in Detroit. They wouldn't have picked up the flag, and they would have thrown one at Dez Bryant for being on the field arguing with the officials with his helmet off. That's why you play to get the home field, and the Cowboys benefited from the home field. And their approach this week is, we're talking Green Bay. We're not looking behind us at Detroit. We're focusing on Green Bay. That's been their talk. The talk of Detroit is, you know, we got screwed.
Chris Christie, how's that playing in Dallas?
How's it playing in the country? There's no big issue with them. They find it amusing.
Yeah.
You know, with the belly hugs and things going on in the Jones suite after games. As long as Chris Christie's happy, this franchise, these fans are going to be happy. That means they're winning. No, it's not that big a deal. It's not as big a deal here as it is in New Jersey, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, if he makes a presidential run, I think he's got a good state behind him, right?
Yeah, but again, half the nation hates the Cowboys, so he may be losing a lot of voters.
Before I let you go then, so you look at this game from your view. You're a seasoned NFL guy. You've covered it. You've seen it. What is this game going to come down to? Is it Aaron Rodgers' foot? I had Jake Plummer on earlier, said he's not going to throw with his foot. He's going to work through that. What do you see in this game?
Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers quarterbacks is a tall order. I think it comes down to who runs the ball better, DeMarco Murray or Eddie Lace. If the Cowboys can go up to Green Bay and do what they did in Seattle, hold on to the ball for 35, 36 minutes, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, they can win this game. And the way the Cowboys have run it this year, they can beat anybody they play, anywhere they play, and they proved that when they beat Seattle, you know, early in the season. If they have success running the ball, and Detroit had a great run defense, they didn't run the ball that well, but Green Bay does not have a great run defense. I think it's going to be on the legs of DeMarco Murray. If he's the best back on the field, I think the Cowboys can win this game. If not, if they make it a game of quarterbacks, I like the Packers.
Rick, appreciate the time. We'll see you a couple weeks out here in Arizona. Thanks.
I look forward to it, Brent. Take care.
See you. Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News Cowboy Insider, Talk of Fame Radio. You can follow him on Twitter. Follow them all on Twitter, Talk of Fame Net.